translation, all but converted into devotees of Lord Chaitanya, even the mulattoes and yavanas. Only the impersonalist followers of Shankaracharya evaded him. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In this verse, it is clearly indicated. In this verse, it is clearly indicated that although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converted Muslims and other mulattoes into devotees, the impersonalist followers of Shankaracharya could not be converted. After accepting the renounced order of life, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converted many karmanishtas who were addicted to fruitive activities, many great logicians like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, nindakas, blasphemers like Prakashananda Saraswati, Pashandis, non-devotees like Jagayan Marai, and Adama Paduyas, degraded students like Mukunda and his friends. All of them gradually became devotees of the Lord, even the Patans, Muslims. But the worst offenders, the impersonalists, were extremely difficult to convert, for they very tactfully escaped the devices of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In describing the Kashira Mayavadi, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has explained that persons who are bewildered by empiric knowledge or direct sensual perception, and who thus consider that even this limited material world can be gauged by their material estimations, conclude that anything that one can discern by direct sense perception is but maya or illusion. They maintain that although the absolute truth is beyond the range of sense perception, it includes no spiritual variety or enjoyment. According to the Kashira Mayavadis, the spiritual world is simply void. They do not believe in the personality of the absolute truth or in his varieties of activities in the spiritual world. Although they have their own arguments, which are not very strong, they have no conception of the variegated activities of the absolute truth. These impersonalists who are followers of Shankaracharya are generally known as Kashira Mayavadis, impersonalists residing in Varanasi. Near Varanasi, there's another group of impersonalists who are known as Saranat Mayavadis. Outside the city of Varanasi is a place known as Saranat, where there is a big Buddhist stupa. Many followers of Buddhist philosophy live there, and they are known as Saranat Mayavadis. The impersonalists of Saranath differ from those of Varanasi, for the Varanasi impersonalists propagate the idea that the impersonal Brahman is truth, whereas material varieties are false. But the Saranath impersonalists do not even believe that the absolute truth or Brahman can be understood as the opposite of Maya or illusion. According to their vision, materialism is the only manifestation of the absolute truth. Factually, both the Kashira and the Saranat Mayavadi, as well as any other philosophers who have no knowledge of the spirit soul, are advocates of utter materialism. None of them have clear knowledge regarding the absolute or the spiritual world. Philosophers like the Saranat Mayavadis, who do not believe in the spiritual existence of the absolute truth, but consider material varieties to be everything, do not believe that there are two kinds of nature, inferior material and superior spiritual, as described in the Bhagavad Gita. Actually, neither the Varanasi nor Saranat Mayavadis accept the principles of the Bhagavad Gita due to a poor fund of knowledge. Since these impersonalists who do not have perfect spiritual knowledge cannot understand the principles of Bhakti Yoga, they must be classified amongst the non-devotees who are against the Krishna consciousness movement. We sometimes feel inconvenienced by the hindrances offered by these impersonalists, but we do not care about their so-called philosophy, for we are propagating our own philosophy as presented in Bhagavad Gita as it is, and getting successful results. Theorizing as if devotional service were subject to their mental speculation, both kinds of Mayavadi impersonalists conclude that the Satvic matter of Bhakti Yoga is a creation of Maya, and that Krishna, devotional service, and the devotee are also Maya. Therefore, as stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mayavadi Krishna Aparadhi, all the Mayavadis are offenders to Lord Krishna. It is not possible for them to understand the Krishna consciousness movement, therefore we do not value their philosophical conclusions. However expert such quarrelsome impersonalists are in putting forward their so-called logic, we defeat them in every respect and go forward with our Krishna consciousness movement. Their imaginative mental speculation cannot deter the progress of the Krishna consciousness movement, which is completely spiritual and is never under the control of such mayavadis. Om Jnanati Virandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Arvaita Gadadhar Shivas Arigora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. This seventh chapter of this Adilila was translated by Srila Prabhupada very early on when he started to translate Chaitanya Charitamrita in 1973, and it used to be distributed in a little pamphlet on the streets, just itself, the seventh chapter. Very, very heavy philosophy, and in one sense it was pastime that the rest of the context was not there. But Srila Prabhupada was so adamant that people should really recognize the defect of Mayavad philosophy and particularly understand the Panchatattva. So we were doing that at that time. Lord Chaitanya and Five Features, that's what it was called, with a picture of Panchatattva on the cover. Srila Prabhupada had some favorite books that he wanted to distribute. Another one was Transcendental Teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. And those were Prahlad Maharaj's teachings, I think, to his schoolmates. And those were also something that used to distribute in a very, very sort of similar softback format. Prabhupada, although he was working on Bhagavatam, he was working on Chaitanya Charitamrita simultaneously. He didn't want to wait for the texts to be finished before some very important aspects were made available to people. And of course, you know, the same happened with Krishna Book. Krishna Book was product of Srila Prabhupada's judgment. Prabhupada was evaluating that at the rate that he was going with translation, which slowed down considerably after Prabhupada left India, because his Krishna consciousness movement was expanding, more and more disciples, temples, they were requiring time and energy, and so Prabhupada's time for working, although when Prabhupada was, began writing the Krishna Book, he was doing Krishna Book, I think, in the morning, and Nectar of Devotion in the evening, or vice versa. I was doing two books at the same time. And Prabhupada was calculating that at the rate that he was going, his mission, Srila Prabhupada envisaged that his main mission was to present Srimad Bhagavatam with elaborate commentaries to the world. He was concerned that he wasn't going to actually reach the completion of Bhagavatam in his life, or he wasn't sure how long he was going to live, except especially since Prabhupada had already had health crises up to then. He had it on the boat coming. Then when he was in New York, Srila Prabhupada had a heart attack, so much so that he actually returned back to India to go back to Vrindavan. When you listen to Prabhupada's lectures, then he starts to make repeated references that I'm an old man, I may not live very long. So same thing, Srila Prabhupada presented the Krishna Book, which is very, very, it's very extraordinary, it's very nice in the sense that if you read or if you have the commentaries of the Acharyas, particularly the main commentaries there are Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Sanatana Goswami, and Jiva Goswami. And then the original commentary of Sridhar Swami, but his commentaries are very short. They're like a line or two lines. It's very rare that he gives anything very, very lengthy. And Srila Prabhupada's when he translates the verses of the Bhagavatam, he then either in the translation itself or in subsequent little bridging explanations, he incorporates main points that these acharyas give on the 10th canto. And of course, Srila Prabhupada gave us the entirety of the 10th canto in the Krishna book. And in a very, very, very nice, very sort of fluid way. Why was I saying that? I can't remember. Anyway, yes, we're distributing the seventh chapter of the Adi Lila. As Srila Prabhupada was actually starting to race through Chaitanya Charitamrita, that was another historical event. Satsukh Maharaj wrote a little booklet about that, how there was a very famous, I won't mention his name, but Indologist who's in Chicago, and he was planning to make a translation of Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Srila Prabhupada heard that, because until that time there was neither translation or commentary of Chaitanya Charitamrita in English, then he put the Bhagavatam aside and he started to work on that. And Prabhupada translated all this book and did all the commentaries in a period of, I think, less than 18 months, which is a lot. I mean, which is a little time. It's going very quickly. And because he wanted to make sure that the books were printed in time, he told his followers that you have to print these books, these 18 books, in 2 months. And that's part of the story, very worth reading, because generally you don't produce 18 books in 2 months. I mean, from production all the way through to printing. But it happened by Srila Prabhupada's order. That was when Srila Prabhupada said, "Well, Prabhupada, that's impossible." And Prabhupada said, "Impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary," and he just said, "You all do it." So they did it. They stayed up 24 hours a day for 2 months, and they did it. It was a wonderful marathon, very, very inspiring. Someone, ISKCON member, tried to do that nowadays, he may be in jail for abuse. But Srila Prabhupada was such a wonderful, inspirational personality. Here, this verse actually shows that even Lord Chaitanya, who was taking the role of a Jagat Guru, the universal preacher, even he wasn't able to convert everybody. Mayavadis, Mayavadam Satcha Sram Pachanam Bodham Uchate. Mayavadis and Buddhists, and Lord Shiva says that this Mayavad philosophy, Pachanam Bodham Uchate, it's actually just covered Buddhism. So they're more or less the same. Everything's one, everything's nothing, and they have different variations of all of that. Unfortunately, as here Prabhupada is saying, well, there were the Pashandis, and there was the Nindakas, and there were the fruitive workers and the Karma Nishtas. Nowadays, there's no such clear division. That's everything's merged together. And more or less, everyone is contaminated by Mayavad philosophy. So when Srila Prabhupada first came to preach, all of his potential disciples, they were all Mayavadis. So, well, it's all one. We're all God. And I have drug experiences to prove it. So Srila Prabhupada was dealing with that very same type of psychology and mentality. The good thing was, the difference was, is that the devotees that Srila Prabhupada was encountering were not so really sort of diehards. Many of these Mayavadis continued, And they never really received the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They weren't open to that. Ultimately, Krishna tells us to teach Sita Thakuru. You do as you like to do. And ultimately, Krishna's not forcing us. If we don't want to listen and don't want to be open to logic and reason, because you have to be honest. In spiritual life, one has to be very honest. Traditionally, as time moves on, because in Kali Yuga, truth is something that becomes lost, then honesty and philosophical debate wanes. So everyone has that experience. When you're trying to preach to someone, you talk to them, you make a very good point that rebuffs their point, and their answer is yes, but. But though there's no yes, but if you're defeated, then why don't you just accept the fact that you were just defeated on a point? Because people tend to be dishonest. And even when you go back at the time of the Greeks and so on, who were very sort of philosophically oriented people, they would debate, and whoever wins the debate, he becomes the guru. Whoever's the loser, he becomes the disciple of the winner. And that was also the Vedic system. And they were very, just like Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, they would go and travel and preach. They would meet, and because their main preaching was also against the Mayavadis. And they would defeat them on the basis of the scriptures, because they're quoting the same scriptures as we are, especially Vedas. Vedanta Sutra is their favorite. And modern-day Mayavadis are very, very expert in even Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like yesterday at the Pandava Saint program, I asked who had the Bhagavad Gita memorized, and not one person raised their hand. That was really embarrassing. But these Mayavadis, they know Bhagavad Gita back and forward, except they know it in the wrong way. And many of them actually know Srimad Bhagavatam as well, because Bhagavatam has become very popular, especially by Srila Prabhupada's preaching. So if you want to be a popular preacher, you've got to preach from what's popular. But they don't give the right thing. They give the wrong interpretation. And so what they speak then becomes like poison. So Srila Prabhupada quotes that verse that milk touched by the lips of a serpent. How does it start? Avaishnavam mutat girnam puta hari katamritam shravanam naiva kartavyam sarpo chista yataparam. That it's like even Bhagavatam, if it's touched by a Mayavadi, if it's preached by a Mayavadi, it becomes poisonous. Except for some rare exceptions, those who are immune to poison. There are people who are actually immune to snake poison. Prahlad Maharaj was immune to the poison that his father gave to him. Chaitanya Bhagavat describes how Devananda Pandit, who later became one of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, he was a Mayavadi, and he used to preach from Bhagavatam. And at that time, which was before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, Srivas Thakur used to come, and he used to hear Bhagavatam from Devananda Pandit. And when he heard Bhagavatam from him, he used to exhibit ecstatic symptoms. And because he was exhibiting ecstatic symptoms, they thought that he was causing a disturbance, so they threw him out. They committed offense, did they? When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later came in contact with Devananda Pandit, he told him, you have no hope for liberation. You committed an offense to Srivas Thakur. So he actually condemned him. And it was only by the association of another Vaishnav. Who's dancing 3 hours, 3 days? Rakeshwar Pandit. It was only by the association of Rakeshwar Pandit that then actually he was saved. Devananda Pandit was saved. He has, anyway, in Mayapur, he also has a, his mat is there, Devananda. Now it's a Gaudiya mat, so it's called Devananda Gaudiya mat. And interestingly, when you go there, you become, one becomes free from Vaishnava Aparad. That is the place where one becomes free from Aparada Bhanga. One becomes free from Vaishnava Aparad. So my bodies are, they're very, very hard nuts to crack, and it is described here, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, either my bodies or the Buddhists were extremely fixed in their way, and they'd rather die. There were instances of Madhvacharya's preaching that he was so forceful that my bodies would actually give up their body to his preaching. In other words, they were so humiliated that they were defeated by him, and yet they were still so stubborn that they wouldn't accept what he said, that okay, the alternative, either you become my disciple or you give up your body. So they prefer to give up their bodies. You got to be pretty stubborn to do that. Of course, there are certain class of religious people nowadays who also blow themselves up in a similar way. So they gave up, they'd rather give up their bodies than surrender. That's bad. Blowing yourself up for a religious cause, that's relatively good. But giving up your body because you don't want to surrender to a religious cause, that's very, very unfortunate. And we can see at least that was the advantage that when one of Srila Prabhupada's first academic admirers met Srila Prabhupada, and he saw the devotees, and he was versed in Vaishnavas, and he couldn't figure out how these people, who don't really know what they're talking about, so enthusiastic and determined, how are they so committed to a way of life that they can't really quite elucidate very clearly. And then when he met Srila Prabhupada, he understood that it was by Srila Prabhupada's influence that devotees, although they were not so clear about the philosophy, very few books at that time, there were only Srila Prabhupada's canto, the first three volumes of the first canto, but still devotees were very determined, very enthusiastic. They had belief in Krishna, although they may have not been very clear about what that belief was, on the basis of the fact that they had great belief in Srila Prabhupada. And that was the unique characteristic that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed upon his followers. Here it says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't convert the Mayavadis, but all Srila Prabhupada did was convert Mayavadis. Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, they all converted Mayavadis. Krishna takes pleasure in bestowing transcendental opulences upon his devotees that he doesn't manifest himself. When devotees were asking Srila Prabhupada, how come Lord Chaitanya didn't spread Krishna consciousness all over the world? Prabhupada said he left it for his followers. He left it to Srila Prabhupada and others. He could have. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could have easily gone anywhere that he wanted. But he didn't. He left the glory to the rest of the world, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converted the scholars, the Rupa Goswamis and the Sarvabhauma Bhattacharyas. And then Lord Nityananda, he was the one who worked on those who were much more fallen. Of course, here it's described Jaga and Madai, but they were also originally from very high class families. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives us actually that opportunity to perform activities that even he doesn't do. And that's the competition that takes place between devotees and the Lord. Krishna wants to glorify devotees, and devotees want to glorify the Lord. Since Shruti had mentioned and asked that I should connect this with Navaraja Mahima, about which I will not speak, in other words, at least why I wrote, mentioned that this evening. But here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is on the way to Vrindavan. he had wanted to go to Vrindavan when he got first received initiation from Ishwara Puri. And why? Because at the time of initiation, he received his Diksha Mantras. The Diksha Mantras that we received, well, he received one Diksha Mantra. He received a mantra that was Gopal Mantra, sort of an abbreviated version, a well-known version of our Gopal Mantra that we chant. And as soon as he chanted that mantra, then Divya Gyana Riddhi Prakasita, then Divya Gyana, or transcendental knowledge, which means Krishna, Krishna's names, forms, and pastimes, became manifest in his heart. I'm speaking of Lord Chaitanya as a devotee, as a sadhaka. So immediately he said, I'm going to Vrindavan to find Krishna. And which is the tradition of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Gaudiya Vaishnavas are always connected with Vrindavan. This is their home. This is our original home. And Vrindavan and Mayapur. Mayapur is also Vrindavan, and there's always been movement between those two places. Devotees go from Mayapur to Vrindavan. Although Thakur Bhaktivinoda emphasizes that in this day and age, Mayapur is a safer place to be because one has to be very strict to appreciate the truths of Vrindavan, and Mayapur is more lenient with practicing devotees and so on. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to go, but he heard a celestial voice that said, no, now's not the time, you should not go, you should go back to Navadvip. So he went back. After taking sannyas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again, he was in so much ecstasy, wandering around, he again wanted to go to Vrindavan. And this time, Lord Nityananda misled him and directed him towards Shantipur. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in his... He didn't know where he was going. So Kaviraj Goswami later on describes that there are three states of consciousness that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in. External consciousness, when you can fully communicate with him. Fully absorbed samadhi trance. Now, Lord Chaitanya would have no awareness of what he's doing or what's going on. And then half and half. Half in, half out. So the fact that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could talk and he saw some cowherd boys, and Lord Nityananda told the cowherd boys, when he asks you where's Vrindavan, just tell him it's down the road. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was able to talk, and he was able to walk, but he didn't know where he was. He was just absorbed in ecstatic bliss. Again, when he took sannyas, then technically speaking, when... of course, Gaudiya Vaishnavas. He took sannyas in Mayavad Sampradaya. And the mantra, sannyas mantra, that he received was this Tattvamasi mantra, which Lord Chaitanya didn't like. At least it didn't like the Mayavad interpretation of that, which means that you are also... that you are also the Supreme Absolute Truth. That's their interpretation of it. And there's a lot of mention of that. Lord Chaitanya mentions it, Srila Prabhupada explains it. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood it in a different way. He understood it in the way that you are his. He liked that explanation of the Tattvamasi mantra, and that explanation correlates also to the sannyas mantra, which Gaudiya Vaishnavas accept, which also says that we are actually meant to be his, particularly in the mood of the gopis. That's the specific brunt of the sannyas mantra. The devotees who take sannyas, then they'll be able to chant that, and then they know what it means. So then again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was foiled from going to Vrindavan, and he ended up meeting all the inhabitants of Navadvip and going to Puri. Third time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to go to Vrindavan, and he got as far as Ramkeli, which is northern Bengal, and there he met Rup Sanatan Goswami. And that was their first meeting, although they had been corresponding prior to that. There's some very, in Chaitanya Charitamrita describes some of the letters that Lord Chaitanya wrote to them, so there was correspondence going on between them. And once again, Lord Chaitanya, that was the third time now, Lord Chaitanya got stopped. This time Sanatan Goswami told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you're going now as a very famous preacher and there's thousands of people are following you. So Chaitanya Charitamrita says that people would take the dust from Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, so when he walked along the road, it just became full of potholes from all the dust that everyone was taking from Lord Chaitanya's feet. I'm sure the road keepers weren't very happy about that, but it just turned out that Lord Chaitanya was walking, everyone was coming and taking the dust, and even then, there was lots of people in India, so they were digging up the roads, literally speaking, they were digging up the road. And Sanatan Goswami, who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said later on, he said that you are on the level of my spiritual masters. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Sanatan Goswami in terms of Sadachar, and that's why we worship him as actually the Acharya of Vaidhi Bhakti, is that in terms of following the rules and regulations, the procedures of devotional service, that there is no one more authorized than Sanatan Goswami, and that's why we place so much emphasis on his Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It's such an important book that devotees should read. It's been very beautifully translated by Gopi Pranadan Prabhu, who unfortunately has left this world, our foremost Sanskrit scholar. And I was very lucky, actually. He did not for Navabraja Manima, but the other books, he did, except for Venu Gita, he did the Sanskrit for me. I would take go with him with the particular verses, and he would look up the commentaries. And for Krishna Sangati, well, it was Krishna Sangati and the Pare Hum. And the last one, which a book that I hadn't actually really written, was this Damodar Lila, and which goes through quite a few chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam. And so we've done that all together. We went through all the commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami. And that was such a long time ago that it was actually recorded on cassettes. So I have that on cassette. Where am I ever going to get that from, a cassette? Who's got a cassette player nowadays? So get that. I'll transcribe, although much of it is transcribed. Anyway, that's meant to be the next book once this comes out in print about Krishna's Damodar Leela, Mother Yashoda. And where were we? Yes. So Sanatan Goswami, he told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's not befitting, you want to go to Vrindavan to actually become absorbed in the Dham. How are you going to get absorbed in the Dham when you've got thousands of people with you? So there's two ways of going there. There's one way is when you go on a yatra, when you actually take many people to educate them, to help them enter into the mood of the Dham. Although you've got to be a really empowered person to, well, just like, for instance, Radhanath Maharaj takes 4,000 or 5,000 people. You have to be empowered in order to be able to communicate to 4,000 or 5,000 people, which is like 10 busloads, and take them in a particular holy place and to actually communicate the essence and meaning of that pastime place. So that's one way of going. And then the other is when someone goes by themselves. It's like when I went last year to Vrindavan, then we had a pact, Govinda Maharaj and myself, that we would just go to different places together, so we wouldn't allow anyone to follow, and just the two of us would go. So it's different when one goes alone, or one goes just with a very, very small group of like-minded Vaishnavas. So Sanatana Goswami says, you're going for this purpose. You want to enter into the ecstasy of Vrindavan. So how are you going to get rid of all these people? The only way is if you don't go. So third time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't go. Finally, the fourth time, he ended up going, and he stayed through the month of Kartik. And now we should take note that Srila Prabhupada makes a statement in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Ramananda Roy, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Jagannath Pandit went. Many of Chaitanya, there are Lalita, Vishakha, they never went to Vrindavan. The Prabhupada said they always lived in Vrindavan, but they never went to Vrindavan itself. In other words, they were the personification of Vrindavan. They're the Lord's eternal associates. But it's very, very interesting that it wasn't that all of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates went to Vrindavan. Some of them never went. And yet, they were always, especially with Lord Chaitanya in the last 18 years of his life in Puri, they were living in Vrindavan by chanting Hare Krishna and by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and narrating other very important poets that Lord Chaitanya would like to hear, Jayadev, Chandidas. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first started to go, and then there's that beautiful narration of how he actually goes through Jharikhand forest, that Jharikhand is still there. A lot of potential mines over there. But anyway, at that time, there was no mining going on. And there were a lot of lions and tigers and elephants, and Lord Chaitanya made them all dance and chant. And finally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started to approach Vrindavan. So Kaviraj Goswami says, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always in ecstasy. When he set out for Vrindavan, his ecstasy increased 100 times. When he was approaching Vrindavan, it increased 1,000 times. When he actually entered into the boundary of Vrindavan, his ecstasy increased 100,000 times. Those are words. What it actually means in terms of feeling that Lord Chaitanya knew, we can just try and appreciate the fact that what a great effect actually going to Vrindavan has on Vaishnavas who have a real hankering for it. And one thing that increased Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's hankering for it is that he wasn't able to go, is that many times, in other words, that separation ever since his youth, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was initiated when he was 16, so ever since his youth, and now I forget the timings when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went, how old he was at that time, 27, 28, something like that. So for 12 years, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking, I want to go to Vrindavan. And that desire to go to Vrindavan, that increased his hankering more and more. In his book, Rupa Goswami compiles this book, Mathura Mahatmya, where Mathura actually means Raj, not just Mathura itself. And he says, just the thought, I want to go to Vrindavan, is sufficient to actually liberate a person. Just when someone says the word Mathura, then that is qualification for liberation. But finally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in somewhat from the south. Coming from the south, he came in from Agra area, and as soon as he arrived, he fell into great ecstasy, but before that he was greeted by the animals. So it's interesting how, and it's very beautiful how it's described, that the trees, the deer, the cows, the birds, everyone greeted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And finally, when Lord Chaitanya approached the Jamuna River, then he fainted in ecstasy. And he was there, and at this stage he was actually on the other side, on the Gokula side of Vrindavan. And he was laying in the dirt for 3 days until someone happened to come along and find them. And this happened to be this Krishnadas, who then became very, very fortunate, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him that he wanted to go on Parikrama of Vrindavan. So as far back as 500 years ago, the process of visiting the sacred places of Krishna's pastimes was current. Although very few sacred places were known. And this was before Rupa and Sanatan went to Vrindavan. They hadn't gotten there yet. And who had gone was Bhugarbha Goswami and Lokanath Goswami. They were the first ones Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually sent. And unfortunately, at the time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Vrindavan, they had heard that Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, and they heard then that he went to South India, so they went to try to find him. They went to find him, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Vrindavan. So they missed out. And they were actually amongst Lord Chaitanya's associates, the first ones. They were also looking in Mathura, in libraries, whatever maps existed at that time, where were sacred places. And their Rupa and Sanatan Goswami took over their research, and then they continued to locate the different places. Nana Shastra Vicharan Aikanikunam. But the places that Lord Chaitanya saw were very few. Everyone knew where Govardhan Hill was, because it was hard to hide. And everyone knew where Jamuna was and Mathura was, and some very prominent places like Vamsivat, where Krishna played the flute and attracted the gopis. But most of the pastime places were gone. So doing parikrama at that time was meaning going around to the 12 forests, to some of the main places that were there. But that was an activity that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed that it was the duty of all Vaishnavas to circumambulate the Dham. Circumambulate the Dham because, number one, circumambulation is showing respect to Vrindavan. Rajya Bhagana Varjesha Tad Dham Vrindavanam. That Vaishnavas, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, are meant to respect Vrindavan in the same way that they respect Krishna, worship Krishna. But we do it differently. We don't walk on the deities. We walk on Vrindavan. You can circumambulate the deities, and that used to be very, very common when we were young devotees. We would always do japa walks around the block, circumambulate the temple 3 times. But there are certain ways to actually show respect to the Dham. And there are specifically 2 types of circumambulation. One is when you actually go around the outer perimeter of the Dham. In other words, you go around all the places, which means that you've, just like here, for instance, if you walk around Bhaktivedanta Manor, you're walking around Radha Gokulananda. And within Radha Gokulananda is not only Vrindavan, but the whole universe. So literally, we're circumambulating all the holy places of the universe. So that's one type of circumambulation, perimeter. And the other one is one which is established by acharyas. And different schools go to different places and have a different circuit. But that is one that goes through the main holy places. And so who's ever been on the parikram that Lokanath Maharaj arranges during month of Kartik? One fortunate person. I know Kripamoya Prabhu went. Called it a near-death experience, but a very ecstatic experience. So that's a very wonderful thing to do, if devotees can actually spare the time and accept the austerity of doing that, especially staying out. In the absence of that, I advise you to go on Navadvip Mandal Parikrama, which is equivalent to going around. Very, very easy on the feet. Only takes 7 days and 6 nights. Done it a couple of times. They were really wonderful times. We did it actually when Tamal Krishna Maharaj was still with us. It was a very wonderful festival. And you just chant Hare Krishna all the time. The distances are much shorter, obviously. And the weather is very mild. I'm planning to do it again this year. I planned last year, but the Hungarian government had some different ideas. And bring your tent, you stay out overnight. It's a very wonderful experience, and it's equivalent. And all you do is chant Hare Krishna. You chant your rounds, and you do kirtan, and eat prasadam. Very, very nice. And this year is going to be in the middle of March, so it'll be very, very comfortable, very, very mild in the evenings, warm, and it won't be too hot during the days. But and Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted that very much established, and he wanted Vaishnavas. He said, just by performing Navadvip Mandal Parikrama, one will become free from all impurities, attain Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's grace. It's a very wonderful thing, and it's equivalent. You get the equivalent benefit of doing the same in Vrindavan. So there's the route going through, and then there are other types of parikrams in Vrindavan. Like, I'm sure many devotees have done parikram of Vrindavan town. So that's just 8 miles. Or you do a parikram of Govardhan. Or you do a parikram of Nandagram. There's a parikram of Barshana. So some main places have their own parikrama. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. And when he came, he just played the role of a pilgrim. And he would ask this Krishna Das to narrate the different places where Krishna's pastimes took place. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did Govardhan Parikrama, many things happened in Lord Chaitanya's Govardhan Parikrama. One is that he met with Srinathji, or who was at that time called Gopal. There's sort of a controversy as to who locate this deity. Chaitanya Charitamrita says that it was Madhavendra Puri, and some other branch of Vaishnavism, they have someone else who they claim was actually the finder. But of course, we accept Kaviraj Goswami as the authority. And evidence of that also is that actually Gopal was... Anyway, I wrote a whole appendix on that, is that... The worship of Gopal was originally done by us Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and it was Raghunath Das Goswami who actually handed over the worship to the sons of Vallabhacharya. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to visit him, but he was on Govardhan Hill. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wouldn't go on Govardhan Hill. So under the plea that the deity was going to be desecrated, then the soldiers were attacking. Then the deity went to a village called Gantoli. Gantoli is on the other side of Govardhan Hill, straight across the road. If you go to the road on the other side, it's a very wonderful place. Prabhupada writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita that some people say that this is where Radha and Krishna first met. And there's a there's a kund over there that's huge. It's like almost on the magnitude of Manasiganga, except that it was completely empty. We went there about 3 years ago, and it's called Gulal Kund. This is where the gopas and the gopis would come and play holi. Because they would play holy, but it wasn't like nowadays. You couldn't play in the towns, in the cities. So the children, they were sent out to different places, and there were different assigned places where they played holy. This is one place where they played holy. And on one occasion, when they were playing holy, and Radha and Krishna were sitting down, then from behind they tied their clothes together, so they couldn't get separated. Gantoli means knot. So they were tied together, and then they couldn't be separated. And when Radha and Krishna couldn't be separated, then they got pelted by both the cowherd boys and the gopis as well. So, and they play holi for a whole month, every day. It's part of starting the beginning of spring, when Vasant Panchami starts. From that time all the way to what we celebrate, Gaur Purnima, or the 1 or 2 days after, they're playing holy every day. And then many authors describe how more or less the whole complexion of Vrindavan changes. They just paint all of Vrindavan, the vermilion color, the very, very bright colors, and because they do it in real style, and there's lots of them, and they're constantly playing like that. So all the children of Vrindavan, they play holy, and sometimes some of the elders also play. So Gopal went there, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also stayed there. And then when he went back on the hill, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accompanied. It's also described that when Lord Chaitanya went around, that he, it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that he embraced every single tree of Vrindavan, because they're not ordinary trees. And there's one place, although when we used to do parikrama, that was as you go to Udav Kund, and by that time devotees are pretty tired when you've gone past Govardhan already, and you go towards Udav Kund, and there was a sitting place where Lord Chaitanya rested. There are three or four sitting places of Lord Chaitanya around Govardhan Hill. And finally then he came to Radhakund and Shyamakund. And Radhakund and Shyamakund were not there. They were at that time just like here, when we come in, you know, in the fields, when there's a lot of rain, then there's a depression. Wherever there's a depression, then there's just the rainwater collects over there. So they were also like that, places where the rainwater would collect. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking them, he says, where are this Aristakund? Aritakund, Aritgram, that was the name of the village in that part of over there. And says, we don't know of any lakes over here. So, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed, and he discovered those places. And in Shyamakund, you see the actual sitting place again of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu near this, beneath this tall tree, near the palm tree. And from there, Lord Chaitanya went around. I can't get into all the places, but Lord Chaitanya continued to go to different places. He went to as far up as Sheshashayi, and that was a temple that's there. Maybe I'll mention that this evening, because since I'm doing this book, when Prabhupada said that he wanted Mahavishnu laying on Anantasesh in this lake, I always sort of identify this lake with that kund. I'll describe that this evening. And then there was some interesting things. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to, when sometimes he would get very ecstatic, then this Krishna Das, he told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he should calm himself. He said, it is not suitable to show excessive ecstasy when one is on parikrama. One should be self-controlled. And there are many people who describe this. Murari Gupta describes Lord Chaitanya's parikrama, and there's some in different texts. One very, very nice one was when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came finally to the Vamsivat and to the place of the Rasa dance. And so he just sat there and he heard the description of the rasa dance in detail. And what happened was that while that was going on, particularly in the portion where after calling out for Krishna and the gopis were singing the Gopi Gita, then finally Krishna returns. Krishna returns, and Shukadeva Goswami describes how when Krishna appeared, he looked like Manmata Manmata. He looks like the person who bewildered the mind of even Cupid. And when he was describing it like that, as he was describing Krishna's returning and then Krishna's doing the rasa dance, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned into Krishna. And he started to actually enact the pastime. And this Krishna Das, he lost all concept of what was going on. He was just sort of a narrator. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was enacting, and there were many gopis and Srimati Radharani that were also manifest. So he was talking about, describing all these things, and then when it was over, then everything disappeared, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again just became a sannyasi. And then, I think it's Murari Gupta, then he describes how Krishna Das became covered again by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's maya, and he just thought that he was sort of envisaging something that he got very much into the pastime. So it was interesting that at some places, when the pastimes, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually entered those pastimes, when he went on parikrama. And then finally, we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he took up residence. He stayed at Akura Ghat, which is actually outside the border of Vrindavan. It's more in Mathura. And from there, he would walk. Every day, he would walk. And when you do on parikrama, devotees to Vrindavan parikrama, you know, the place where Lord Chaitanya again would rest under that big, big banyan tree. And it used to be very beautiful until someone built a wall around it and a temple. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would rest over there. And then from there, he would go to Imlital. And he would sit there underneath Imlital. And he would chant japa. And he would chant Hare Krishna, or he would go as far as Sanatana Goswami's temple, Prashkananda Ghat, it's called, and he would bathe there. In fact, it says that he'd bathe there every day, and then he would come to Imlital, and he would chant, and then he would go back again and take his supper. And that was Lord Chaitanya's daily activity, until once again, too many crowds, he became too famous, and he went to the other side of the Jamuna and left, and then came back again towards Varanasi, and that way back to Jagannath Puri. So by studying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's parikram of Vrindavan, obviously we get the idea of how we should also perform parikrama. And all of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, Lord Nityananda had already gone earlier. He was already living at Nityanandavat, where that is also the place of Dira Samira. He was living in Govardhan. He stayed there for quite some time until he was sure that Lord Chaitanya was going to manifest his Sankirtan pastime. And from there he went. So all of the Lord's associates perform this parikrama because by so doing you remember Krishna's pastimes. So devotees can do parikrama in two ways. One is they go to the Vrindavan. The other is that they do parikrama within their minds. And you do parikrama in your mind when you chant japa, better than doing parikrama of downtown London or so many other, remembering all of our past misdeeds. Or sometimes, of course, when devotees go and walk around here, walk around Radha Gokulananda's new Gokula, then they all can also remember places of Krishna's pastimes while chanting Hare Krishna. So whatever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did as the Acharya, as the Vaishnav, then we should also follow specifically those things that Srila Prabhupada had also reinforced that we should do. And Prabhupada, it was very right from the very beginning, Srila Prabhupada wanted this American house. First he wanted it built at Radha Damodar Mandir, and he wanted to actually build a institute, Jiva Goswami's Institute, where devotees would go there to study, to the Dham, to visit the places of pastimes. And you see, I don't know which movie it's on, where Srila Prabhupada's taking the devotees around on parikrama. And he's explaining something, and he's got this real animated look on his face. So Srila Prabhupada personally took the devotees around on parikrama. And that is part of our dharma. Pada-sevanam, shravanam, shravanam kirtanam vishnu, smaranam, pada-sevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam. So pada-sevanam, we serve the Lord's lotus feet, and we have the opportunity to chant Hare Krishna and hear about him by doing parikram of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Anyway, I'll stop there. And Shruti, what do? We just, oh yes, Maharaj was going to speak about going door-to-door. He's the Acharya of door-to-door. Knocked on every door in Manchester multiple times over. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.